and local with Monica Jay on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. This segment is brought to you by HireMeNevada.com.
This segment, what is this segment? This segment is our number two of this fabulous Thursday, July 9th. Thank you so much for being here today on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, servicing all of Northern Nevada. Okay, maybe not servicing, serving all of Northern Nevada. So, and Eastern California a little bit. Today's poll question brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. If Governor Sisolak takes the state of Nevada back to phase one, like Newsom did in California, will you comply? Will you comply? Love to hear your thoughts on that. Also, yesterday's poll question, an overwhelming, support or what would you like to see cut to save money from the budget deficit? Overwhelming support for top salaries and ineffective programs. Because there is a lot of waste and ineffective programs in state government. Programs that shouldn't even be in state government. I hope one of the first things they shut down is the new office for new Americans. Not new American citizens, new Americans. Just my opinion, though. Let's go to the talk and text lines because it's all about what you have to say. So let's check in with Mark. Mark wants to talk about yesterday's COVID deaths. Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling the show.
Hi, Monica. I'm starting to think this is a little bit funny now. It amazes me that they would actually put on the news an 80-something-year-old and two 90-year-olds, 89 and then two 90-year-olds, 90-something-year-olds, die of COVID-19. Now, if I make it to 90-year-old, please give me a shot of COVID-19 because I really don't want to live past 90. I just think it's comical. It really is.
Mark,
these people have underlying conditions.
It's not realistic. You have Dr. Birx coming out and saying, and actually I've got another soundbite for another doctor. It doesn't matter what you die from. You could be in hospice. You could die of a heart attack, a car accident. It doesn't matter. If at the time of your death, you have COVID, the coronavirus, they list that as the death. It's
absolutely
a farce.
I think it's comical.
It's a farce. And I don't want anybody picking on you and saying, hey, he's saying that these deaths are comical. No, he's not. He's saying the whole premise of people that are dying from COVID to rise the numbers, that is what is comical and stupid. Mark,
when you have a doctor come up to you and ask you, can we put down COVID-19 because one of your family members has passed away? And they're not even telling you what he passed away from. They're asking you if they can put that down. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. My father passed away here last month, and my mother made 100% sure that his death certificate did not say COVID. I mean, that's what people have to do now, and it's ridiculous. Mark, they think that we are so stupid that we can't figure this out.
You know, Monica, you could look at this one other way, and I don't think it's been brought up yet, but by doing this, you're actually taking away the elderly's dignity. If you really think about it, that's one thing that I don't too many people have thought about. But if they're going to die of something, don't make up something because you're taking away their dignity. And that's horrible to do to anybody.
Mark, you're not only taking away somebody's dignity, but you're taking away their love, their last chance to be with someone that they love and to have them hold their hand through this traumatic event and say, I'm with you, I'll always be with you, and you can't.
Good point. Good point. Good
Mark,
point.
Thank you so much for me, Monica. Thank you for calling the show. And I know I have smart listeners. And that's a problem for people. Let's go back to the talk and text lines at 884-9910 and check in with Gene. Hi, Gene.
Well, it was nice to see you yesterday.
Sure was good to see you, too.
You know, that little sign I had, using the California connotation, you know, certainly resonates with the motorists, you know, who pass by. That is really something they understand, you know. But I was taken aback on Saturday as well by the BLM, the bacon, lettuce, mayo contingency that showed up. That's my new acronym for BLM.
Burn, loot, murder.
That's a nice one too. I wish I thought of it first, but anyway, you know, I was taken aback by the vilification of America, some of the oratory that was emanating out of that congregation there on the other side of the street during that demonstration, and I was taken aback by that, and I realized that the agenda is far bigger than Mr. George Floyd. Mm-hmm. You know, which we all saw, and it was abhorrent, you know. But, you know, I wanted to get into this budget thing, too, you know, because I've gone through the phone book under the state of Nevada and all its government offices, and I've eliminated 22 agencies thus far with a highlight pin in that phone book. But the one I'm really taking a hard look at, the one that I really don't understand, and the one of the reasons I supported Dan Schwartz, the former treasurer, when he was in the gubernatorial primary for governor, is he was going to dismantle and disfund GOED, or the governor's office of economic development. And, you know, I'm watching the news the other night, and they're highlighting on the news that GOED had secured or procured a multi-million-dollar grant so the Desert Research Institute could study water vapor or study the enhancement of water vapor to increase our water supply. Why some of these bureaucracies, you know, embedded in the non-elected bureaucracies, you know, even exist, you know, in
our
state
government.
Have
to ask yourself, if DRI wants a grant to be able to do that, why doesn't DRI go out and get it? Why does it have to be the state of Nevada?
Mm-hmm. And maybe the private sector could help out with that as well. But it's certainly one of the agencies I take a hard look at defunding and dismantling. And that was the case that Mr. Schwartz made when he was running there for governor, you know. But as everybody is, and I just want to make another comment, too, because you opened the segment with the poll on, I guess, the governor is contemplating reverting us back to stage one on stay-at-home order. You know, I would say this, that with the poll is resounding not in favor, that I agree that it's time, if this something were to happen like that, it's time for Nevadans to flip the proverbial bird at this governor and get about their business, because the only people are going to refill the coffers of this budget are the taxpayers themselves, and they're anxious to get busy and refill these coffers so we can forestall the orgy of taxation that's going to be contemplated up there in the next week or so. So
exactly.
I just want to say that
about $190 million of, you know, unfunding for the universities and $160 million for K-12. I say we just defund universities altogether. They have endowments. They have ways to make money. Why is the state involved in universities, in higher education? It is our responsibility to provide an education for the kids so they can make their way into the future. So,
guess that every 70 cents of every dollar of tuition paid up there is funding the pensions of the administration and staff there. And the other 30% is actually involved in the education aspect of it. And I think that's one of the protected parameters of government. You know, it's all of the taxpayer enabled goodies and the way that the government sector has themselves completely divorced from the economy on everything. And, you know, that would be my guess on that. But
like I said, Gene, the government, the state produces nothing. All they do is take, you know, from us that do produce. So, Gene, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. I got to move on to another call here at 884-9910. Talk or text. Ken wants to talk about masks and budget cuts. Just got a couple minutes for you here, Ken. What are your thoughts?
Oh, hi, Monica. Real quick, because I need a couple of minutes. One, condolences on your dad. On the compliance, real quick, I had a doctor's appointment about a month ago, had nothing to do with the virus, just general checkup. And my doctor told me, take that SOB off, talking about the mask. And he's getting ready to retire. So I'm going to take his opinion. He's been practicing medicine longer than Sisolak has been practicing politics. So when it comes to anything medical, I'll listen to my doctor.
Yeah, any doctor who allows their patients to continue to wear a mask and doesn't try to educate them should be cited because of their Hippocratic oath. Do no harm.
Well,
wearing those masks do harm.
Correct. And they wouldn't let me in unless I was wearing a mask, and I would have walked, but he's retiring. I've had him for about 15 years, and I wanted to shake his hand and thank him for his service to me. And he's a former, this is the VA, so he's also former military. And I wanted to thank him for all that too. Anyway, but so I didn't walk. I put the mask on at their insistence, and then he told me to take it off. He wasn't wearing one, and he wasn't wearing gloves. He walked in, said, "How you doing?" Shook my hand, and it was all good. I saw a meme online, I don't know, a month ago. It said, "Wearing a cloth mask to stop a virus is like putting up a chain link fence to stop mosquitoes."
Somebody Ted just sent me that. Or actually, no, Robert just sent me that.
on the budget cuts, I think the first thing that should be cut is every salary in the state legislature. That would save a lot of money that's being totally wasted. And
exactly.
The whole thing with the masks and wearing them, not wearing them, this whole country is built on choice. You know, the freedom to choose. Now, if a business puts up a sign and said you must wear a mask as long as it's a privately owned business, they have every right. And then I have every right to choose whether or not I want to go in there. The only time I have worn a mask during this whole damn thing is when I went to the doctor and they forced me to do it. And I made the choice to comply in an effort to talk to my doctor. If it had not been for that, I would not have worn it then. I do put a neckerchief around my neck on occasion in case I have to go somewhere and they force the issue, but I have not worn it yet other than around my neck as a neckerchief.
Yeah, it's ridiculous what we're being put through, Ken. And Ken, I don't know how long you've been listening today, but this is great. I've been going through my texts while you've been making your point and listening, of course. But I just received this text. You can step off a curb and get hit by a bus. So, you know,
yeah.
I must be striking a nerve with somebody, Ken. So I'm glad you decided to call and brighten my day.
Well, I've been listening most of the morning. Unfortunately, I am in and out, so I do miss some. But I try to listen to you at least most of your show every morning. I don't always catch it, and I very seldom catch a full show, but I catch most of it.
Well, Ken, I appreciate it. And you go out there and you have a great day and live a great life without wearing a mask.
You know, that shows you just how antisocial I am. Since this whole thing started, my life has changed almost zero.
Mine's changed a little bit more than that. I'm missing a lot of get-togethers and a lot of speaking events, but, you know, I'll still get my point across. Ken, thanks for calling the show today. And this is what you do. This is what you have to put up with. You have to put up with the negativity and the stupidity. But it's an all in how you react to it. You know, what is this? I just got a quick text here. Wearing a mask to keep germs from leaving or entering your body is like expecting underwear to stop a fart. Yes. Thank you so much for sending me that. That is exactly true. This is all about control. That's all it is. I hope you stick around because after this break, you're not going to hear it from me. You're going to hear it from Juan Jillian right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with me on today's show. It's your live and local FM talk. But sometimes I have to go back to what other people say. And sorry, it's not Juan Jillian. It's Julian Williams. But I want you to listen to this gentleman because, well, he really gets what's going on.
What we're actually seeing is the systematic implementation of the fall of the Republic and the rise of the corporation of the United States. Every major event is a step in the ladder to achieve that end. COVID is just another rung in the ladder, which is why there's a deliberate mixing of all the wordplay, right? I mean, we should stop calling it, you know, quarantine. That's a term designated for people that are verified sick. This is a house arrest mandated by the state. You should stop calling it, you know, social distancing. There's nothing social about forced isolation. We should stop saying safer at home when millions of Americans don't have basic necessities adequate to fit their needs. It assumes that everybody's home is equally as safe as the people that are making the statements. We should stop saying, you know, this is for the greater good. Right. When you close the economy, killing millions of businesses that families have worked generations to establish, that's anything but good. We should stop saying this is the new normal. That's just blatant mind control drivel. There's nothing normal about forced isolation, you know, treating your neighbor like they have the plague, breathing your own bodily waste, wearing masks, living in constant fear of contamination. That's normal. I mean, after all, if the virus is so deadly, why hasn't it wiped out the homeless who don't social distance, wash themselves regularly, let alone, you know, live in or have access to a sterile environment? Last year, 1.5 million people died of tuberculosis. Why were you not wearing a mask during the tuberculosis pandemic? You were endangering, you know, public health and safety along with billions of other people around the globe. So why didn't you wear a mask? I'll tell you why. Because the mainstream media didn't tell you to wear a mask. Right. And so because though 1.5 million people died from tuberculosis, there was no tuberculosis pandemic any more than there's a coronavirus pandemic.
Do you understand that? Do you get that? Go back to the talk and text line and check in with Pee-wee this morning. Pee-wee wants to make a comment about the masks. And remember, Pee-wee, niceties.
What have I forgotten that I don't remember?
just putting it out there. I have
you mean my
pay,
color,
play
my
nice. I have FCC regulations.
Oh, those guys. Okay, well, okay. Just suppose now the government says everybody got to wear a mask. And businesses have to enforce that. So suppose I walk into a business, they tell me I need to wear a mask, and I comply, but I have a medical issue that's undiagnosed. I put the mask on, I walk around for a few minutes collecting my supplies, and then I take a digger. I black out. I hit my head on the shelf going down. I get hurt. Maybe I die. Who does my family sue? The store? The government? The mask maker? I mean, I'm kind of wondering here. Somebody caused me to die because I'm breathing crappy air.
There's got to be a liability in there somewhere.
Yeah. But people aren't worried about that. They're really not worried about your health, Pee-wee. They're worried and intimidated by the governor.
Oh, let me tell you something about the governor. He's just another guy that happened to speak well enough to sound like he knows what he's doing to get elected. And in the end, when he has to exercise his knowledge, he has very little to display. He's just a tool. And I could call him some very colorful adjectives.
I was going to say that, yeah, that's one of the things that I've called him.
I mean, he's not even a sharp stick in the dull knife.
Yeah. But Pee-wee, those with weak minds will comply. And so it makes us who can stand and say this is wrong, it just pits them against us.
You know what I really hate in the world about politicians are the ones that are bullies. But as soon as they get bullied back, they find somebody else to go fight their battles.
Yeah.
Instead of standing up and saying, yeah, I'm the bully, take me on. Because I will. I'll take him on. But then he sends his goon squad out. Then I got to fight a whole goon squad to get to the guy that I want to get to.
Yeah, just like we've seen the governor do with, you know, every form of law enforcement surrounding the mansion because he's afraid of people who want to talk to him about this shutdown.
Well, here's the thing. You know, with all the bad things that happen in other cities and other states around our country, when they start happening in Carson City and in Nevada, I hope they go to his house first.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
it'll be surrounded by armed forces. And
you know what? If those guys with the badges and the arms are smart, they'll say, hey, man, you're on your own. I'm done. And they walk away.
That's what we've seen law enforcement do around the country.
You know, NYPD is like 400 times more retirements than they planned for.
Yeah.
Serves them right. You don't want to pay them. You don't want to take care of those guys on the job. They don't deserve to have them.
Exactly. Pee-wee, thanks for the call. I got to take a break here for Fox News, but I always appreciate your thoughts. We'll be back after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Got a different opinion? We've got your 50,000-watt megaphone, 99.1 FM Talk. Call 884-9910, KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Today's poll question brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. You can find it at 991fmtalk.com. And that is, if Governor Sisolak takes the state of Nevada back to phase one, will you comply? Well, we've got a lot of people, about 72% of those visiting the poll saying, hell no. 9% saying yes, of course they will. And then we've got no because I don't have to because I'm antisocial. Good for you. Plandemic, people wake up, 4% there. Cover up, the herd demands it, 4%, almost 5% there. And of course, 5% on I demand sanctuary. Oh, this is rough. We're going through so much. But you need to know that everything does happen for a reason. We're tested on a daily basis, what we can handle, what we can't handle. We just have to ask for help and understand that we also need to help others. All right. So thank you so much for Boys and Dad for the email. Okay. So I feel bad for those struggling now with no income. I have family feeling this as well. But balancing the entire state budget with state employees is not acceptable. I know you hate tax increases, but everyone gets the same services I pay for. So why shouldn't we all pay more? Something most do not consider. I went through 6 years of furloughs, pay cuts, and step freezes in 2008 with the state, and they never made us whole. The Nevada economy was roaring. And no one considered the fact that some state employees are providing a service at a pay step three with 9 years of service experience. Additionally, I contribute almost 22% of my salary to my retirement for the last 16 years. I'm certain that none of your listeners have or are forced to contribute that aggressively to their retirement. And my family insurance plan costs over $600 per month for a family HMO. I can almost get the same plan online with no state affiliation. I love your show, and I hope you investigate and share these numbers with your listeners. I know these pay cuts don't seem significant to those unemployed, but the step freezes are not damaging just during the pay cuts, but have been a stigma for years, considering I have now been with the state for 15 years and have not reached TOPS pay scale, and will never get there with likely several years of stepped freezes ahead. Many of us seasoned employees who went through this the last time will be leaving this time for the private sector. Respectfully, and thanks for your time. No, respect, and thank you for the email. I greatly appreciate that. And you make one absolute fantastic point without making it at the same time. And that is, nobody knows somebody else's situation. Nobody knows what other people are going through. We have a little saying, "There by the grace of God go I." But you have to remember that there are other things going on in people's lives. And we will all suffer this together, because whatever tax increases come along, well, the state employees will feel that as well, because they will have to pay those taxes. But if we want to get back to a place where state employees who have been around for 15 years and have suffered the consequences of cuts and freezes, if we want to get back to an economy that is strong and strives, we have to get rid of waste. We have to get rid of redundancy. We have to get rid of non-essential things. I mean, yeah, Trump promises us this, that he's going to bring the economy back roaring full force. But that doesn't help us now. What helps us now is keeping a positive attitude and helping each other. I just got a text from a listener, somebody who I cherish their opinion, showing the back of their car loaded up with food for a food drive that the food bank was doing. I didn't know about this, but it ends at noon, so it's not like I can really promote it. Because whatever tax increases are put into place, we're not going to see those taxes for years. We're not going to see the impact of them for years. So, we do what we can now. And then we vote in November to get the tax and spend Democrats out of office. Fiscal responsibility should be number one for everybody. And number two should be sanitary conditions, which should have always been the case. But we've got to get this state back open. We have to throw off these masks. We have to throw off these restrictions and demand that Governor Sisolak go all the way to stage four with no restrictions and open this state up. Let's go back to the talk and text lines and check in with who's been waiting the longest, Kurt. Kurt, thank you so much for calling the show. You want to talk about the special session going on right now to relieve us of our any extra money we may have?
Well, I've been reading and hearing about the drastic cuts that are going to happen to education. And, of course, I would think a lot of people say, well, why can't we, you know, get rid of some administrators and those high costs? But it led me to think, why are they picking on education? Well, my conclusion was they're picking on education because they know that the population wants education. They know they have a body of employees that will vote for tax increases. So whatever comes out of this legislature, I would look at it from those points of view. What are they doing to build the support to get what they want done, whether it's doing away with what we passed to prevent a state income tax, to whatever they do, realize that they are planning this to make sure these things get passed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand that education is always a touchy issue, Kurt, but education has so much waste at the upper levels with such high administration costs that can be easily eliminated. And if
you can get rid of some of that and you can get rid of tenure, you know, as one point, but mm-hmm. how much is that actually, you know, the money they're saving compared to what they're cutting? Yes, we need to do it. I'm not arguing that. But, you know, the bigger picture is they're looking for ways to create more funding, more permanent funding mm-hmm. that they can rely on. And they're going to pick on the programs and or what's dear to people's hearts. And no, they're not going to cut the state employees because they need their votes. And it's the same way at the city level. You yeah. can look at it just the same way. The city employees are still on. How many cuts have been dealt through there? None. So, you know, people need to look at the bigger picture of how they're being manipulated. You know, the mask is one, sure. But now with this session, now with, oh, I have an idea, so let's pass my idea and we'll fill in the blanks later.
Well, Kurt, that's a good point, because remember how much, when he was running for election, Governor Sisolak promised to teachers, and yet he didn't deliver. So, Kurt, thank you so much for the call. I got to move on to other callers. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Joseph. Joseph wants to talk about the book Militant Normals.
Yeah, I just got done reading it. It's called Militant Normals by Kurt Schlichter. It's an excellent book. And as a matter of fact, he was just sitting in for Hugh Hewitt this morning on the radio. So he's an attorney out of L.A., but he's one of the good guys. It's an excellent book.
I like how you put that, attorney out of L.A., but one of the good guys. Militant yeah. Normals, How Regular Americans Are Rebelling Against the Elite to Reclaim Our Democracy. That sounds like a fantastic read. So you recommend that, Kurt? All right.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
I will definitely really look that up.
Okay, great.
Appreciate it. Thanks for
You're
the
welcome.
Call. Thanks, Joseph. This is how we share information. The one thing that I wasn't able to get to because, well, somebody called me a putz and I had to go back to that, but Ghislaine Maxwell, she is going to sing like a bird. And I was a little upset with Armstrong and Getty this morning, blaming everything on her. going out and getting these girls and doing her own abusive sexual thing with these girls. And it's all about Ghislaine and what she's been doing and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she's a cohort with Epstein. No. They aren't telling you the whole story. Ghislaine Maxwell's family has been involved with this for generations. And the people who her family associated with. It's all about bloodlines and families. Jeffrey Epstein, he was a patsy. He was a schmoozer. Okay, Ghislaine Maxwell was not in partnership with Epstein. Epstein was her patsy. She's the one that controlled the money. She's the one that controlled the people. She's the one that holds the secrets. She is far more valuable than Jeffrey Epstein ever was or ever will be. Names have been released of who visited Jeffrey Epstein's island. And I'm not talking about all the BS that you see on Facebook and all of that stuff. You can go to the federal government. You can go to the government records and see all of this for yourself. Imagine that. Doing a little research for yourself. It's scary. But I'll explain why you need to do it right after this break as we wrap up the show here on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk and 99.1fmtalk.com.
It's the Monica J Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. And we send our prayers and our blessings to all of the firefighters on the Numbers Fire, on the Monarch Fire. It just, we can't have this right now. But there are bigger things going on here. Follow along if you can, because, you know, I have a very strange brain, so sometimes I get off track. It's not about a virus. It's not about the Russians. It's not about impeachment. It's not about riots. Ford employees now upset and asking company executives to rethink the role that Ford plays in supplying the majority of law enforcement organizations with vehicles, the partnerships that they have. Seriously? I wonder which two Ford employees came with that. It's not about all the things that we see going on around us that we just shake our heads and think, how can we be doing this to ourselves? We're not doing this to ourselves. There is no overwhelming systemic racism in America. There is no hate between the religious organizations. There are political families, dynasties, world leaders, a few people that want control of everything. And they mask themselves and use the Democrat Party as a vehicle. to obtain control of this country, because they already have control of other countries. But if America falls, then that's it. They have everything. We are literally the last stand. I don't want you to think about a civil war with your brothers and sisters. I don't want you to think about a race war. If you're going to think about us against them, I want you to know them as the elites who want total control of this country. And they are willing to burn it to the ground. And actually want it burned to the ground. So they can rebuild it in the image that they want. All of us, black, white, religions, doesn't matter. They want what they want, and they are willing to use all of us and abuse all of us to get it. I love you. God bless. I'll talk to you tomorrow.